issues for mankind.
Chapter number 3, Yamaraj instructs his messengers, text number 18. Bhutani Vishnu Sunubhu Jitani.
Bhutani Vishnu Sunubhu Jitani.
Durdashamingani Mahar. Bhutani.
Durdashamingani Mahar.
Rakshanti Tad Bhakti Mata.
Rakshanti Tad Bhakti Mata.
Bhutani Vishnu Surapujitani.
Bhutani Vishnu Surapujitani.
Durdashalingani Mahabhutani.
Durdashalingani Mahabhutani.
Rakshanti Tad Bhakti Mata. Bhutani.
Bhutani.
Living entities.
Living entities.
Or servants.
Of servants.
Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Of Lord Vishnu.
Of Lord Vishnu.
Sura Pujitani.
Sura Pujitani.
Who are worshipped.
Who are worshipped.
By the demigods.
By the demigods.
Durdashalingani.
Durdashalingani.
Possessing forms.
Not easily seen.
Mahabhutani.
Mahabhutani.
Greatly wonderful.
Greatly wonderful.
Rakshanti.
Rakshanti.
They protect.
They protect.
Tat Bhakti Mataha.
Tat Bhakti Mataha.
The devotees of the Lord.
The devotees of the Lord.
Kalevyaha.
Kalevyaha.
From others. Who are inimical. Mataha.
Mataha.
From me.
From me.
Yamaraj.
Yamaraj.
And my order carriers.
And my order carriers.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Martyam.
Martyam.
The human beings.
The human beings.
Atha.
Atha.
Thus.
Thus.
Sarvataha.
Sarvataha.
From everything.
From everything.
Cha.
Cha.
The audit carriers of Lord Vishnu, who are worshipped even by the demigods, possess wonderful bodily features, exactly like those of Vishnu, and are very rarely seen. The Vishnu Dutas protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from envious persons, and even from my jurisdiction, as well as from natural disturbances. Purport. Yamaraj has specifically described the qualities of the Vishnu Dutas to convince his own servants not to be envious of them. Yamaraj warned the Yamadutas that the Vishnu Dutas are worshipped with respectful obeisances by the demigods and are always very alert to protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from natural disturbances, and from all dangerous conditions in this material world. Sometimes the members of the Krishna Consciousness Society are afraid of the impending danger of world war and ask what would happen to them if a war should occur. In all kinds of danger, they should be confident of their protection by the Vishnu Dutas or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Kunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranasyati. Material danger is not meant for devotees. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Badam badam yad vipatam na tejam. In this material world, there are dangers at every step. But they are not meant for devotees who have fully surrendered under the lotus feet of the Lord. The pure devotees of Lord Vishnu may rest assured of the Lord's protection. And as long as they are in this material world, they should fully engage in devotional service by preaching the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna, namely the Hare Krishna movement of Krishna consciousness. Om Gyanati Minandasya Gyananjana Sulakaya Chakchurum Militam Vena Tasmaye Sri Gurudena Sri Chaitanya Pishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Upakada Mahiyam Dadati Svapanantikam Mukam Karoti Vacharam Namkhayate Girim Yatkripa Kamam Bande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. So, what's the first point here? Don't be envious of devotees. Right? Don't be envious of devotees, here Prabhupada said. Yamaraj has specifically described the qualities of the Vishnu Dutas to convince his own servants not to be envious of them. And why? Because it appears to the Yamadutas that the Vishnu Dutas are outside of their jurisdiction. And of course they are. The devotees are beyond the realm of material existence. Their activities are purely on a spiritual platform. Although that's qualified. That doesn't mean every devotee, because we know there are different levels of devotee. Rupa Goswami recommends us to analyze, to discriminate. We should, sometimes we say, oh, discrimination. We shouldn't discriminate. But we're not, everything's all the same. Everything's all one, because it isn't. It's not. There are subtleties in presentation. There are subtleties in manifestation, and there are subtleties in mood, right? Attitude, or in motivation. This is really it. Motivation, and a lot of what a devotee does is pretty much the same as anybody else. But what is different is their purpose. Right? Their purpose. Prabhupada makes a point where there's a desire to serve Krishna, but get some material benefits for yourself. That's called karma yoga. Right. Where there's a desire to accumulate knowledge, to impress others with one's erudition, then that's called Jnana Yoga. Interesting, right? And where there's a desire to just please Krishna and to serve Krishna, that's called bhakti. Bhakti means that all of one's desires for all of one's motivations are basically the desire is two things mentioned in the 18th chapter, also mentioned in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. What is it? Anasrita karma phalam. One gives up the results of one's work to Krishna. One's not attached to the results of what one does. Right? And the other thing mentioned in the beginning of the 18th chapter, or clarified in the beginning of the 18th chapter, is that one works not motivated by personal desire, but rather, again, to please Krishna. Two aspects of that mood of surrender. Right? I'm doing this because Krishna wants me to do it, because it's my duty. This is what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. You do this because this is your service, and the results you give to Krishna. They're not yours. What's that verse? Idam Krishna idam na mama. This is the verse that when they do the yajnas in Mayapur at the end of each offering of oblations, and that idam Krishna idam na mama. Here the guru could explain that. What does that mean? This is for Krishna, it is not for me. Right? This is the mood. And of course, the devotees know that they'll be protected. Right? In that regard, in that mood of service or surrender, Prabhupada says, Krishna says, I'll protect you. I'll look after you. Right? And so for the devotee who's in that mood, he or she feels such a connection with Krishna that they're not worried about the future. They're not concerned about, you know, what's that radio station that we're all connected to? You know what that is? WIIFM. You know what that means? What's in it for me? Right? What's in it for me? But a pure devotee is not in it for anything other than for Krishna. Does it for Krishna. And what a wonderful position that is. And it is enviable, actually. Right? Who wouldn't be envious of such a person as Srila Prabhupada, because he's such a pure devotee? He's admired by everybody, loved by everyone. Dira dira jano priya priya karo nimapsaro. What is it? Pujito. The six Goswamis were liked by everybody because they weren't envious of anyone, and because everything they did was for the benefit of all. This is described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever a devotee does, he or she is loved by everyone because they work for the benefit of everyone. This is a symptom. And so, you know, it's quite easy to be envious of somebody who's liked by everyone. How come you're liked by everyone and nobody likes me? Right? Or how come you're getting respect from everyone and I'm as good as you? Why not me? Huh? Have you ever felt like that? No. You're lucky. The Yamaraj is saying to the Yamadutas, don't be envious of the Vishnu Dutas. Which means don't be envious of the devotees. Because they're special. They're very special people. And that's a theme that's running through this whole. Ajamila was fallen. just like most of us are fallen. Well, at least one of us is, anyway. So, but when one takes to the chanting of Hare Krishna, we see that Ajahn Mela was fallen, but he was still chanting. And because of that, even though he was fallen, he got an opportunity to perfect his life. And of course, that's important to all of us. We all have an opportunity to perfect our lives by chanting Hare Krishna. And even though that's a really simple thing, one sense, right? I remember once when my wife and I started chanting Hare Krishna, and we were attempting to just start chanting 16 rounds. And Ajahn Sharupa said, "Oh, I can't do this." And I said, "What's wrong with you? You can say Hare Krishna and Rama. How hard is it?" Anyway, we persevered. It wasn't easier, so I think we woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, pitch dark, and then had to stay awake to chant Hare Krishna. So in one sense, okay, very simple, but not necessarily easy. Right? Because it requires effort and focus, and you've got to pay attention, and it requires, a significant amount of effort. But it looks easy, right? It can be dismissed as not very important, not very significant. But actually, of all of the achievements that you could hope to master, the chanting of Hare Krishna for us is, key, critical to making progress, to being successful in life, really. But for those who do, for those who put the effort into learning how to chant and becoming pure hearted as a result, because the chanting of Hare Krishna enables us to identify where our attachments are internally, right? Where we're still attached to karma, where we're still attached to jnana, and be able to give that up to Krishna. Give it up. So that then our actions, instead of our actions being motivated by personal consideration, they're all motivated by a desire just to please and serve Krishna. Pleasing and serving Krishna means pleasing and serving the devotees as well. What is it mentioned here? So, yes, even though it may appear that it may appear that the devotees are, not that important or not very special, or we're all chanting Hare Krishna, and so we're all equal. The external. Sometimes betrays the internal, what's actually going on within the hearts of the Vaishnavas, within the hearts of the devotees. And so we have to learn to, on the one hand, we have to learn to discriminate between who's a beginner, who's middle, madhya, and who's an uttama bhakta. We need to be able to discriminate. At the same time, we need to be very, very respectful to all of the devotees and very appreciative of their efforts. Even the so-called little devotees are still big personalities. Certainly in the eyes of the demigods, and that's mentioned here, right? What is it? Durdashalingani. Very rarely seen, right? Bhutani Vishnu Surapujitani. The demigods worship the devotees. Again, a recurring theme in this section. Even Srila Prabhupada mentions how when he sees his, in the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada mentions when he sees his disciples wearing tilak and robes, you know, and chanting Hare Krishna, they look like residents of Vaikuntha. You know, sometimes people wonder, well, why are we wearing dhotis and saris? You know, why do we dress like that? Why don't we just turn up in our shorts and jeans? You know, it's our heart. It's your heart that matters. Of course it is, your heart does. But also at the same time, Prabhupada encouraged us to dress in these ways because, you know, in a Bhagavatam, when you hear the descriptions of Krishna and how he appears with Lord Vishnu, you don't hear that he's wearing Levi jeans. 501s. No, he's wearing a golden dhoti. That's why Prabhupada wanted us to wear dhotis and saris, because we appear there like demigods. Right? We appear like the residents of Vaikuntha and are worshipped here by the demigods. Dhoti is worshipable. So, and here it is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions, the Vishnu Gurus are worshipped with respectful obeisances by the demigods and are always very alert to protect the devotees of the Lord. And here, from the hands of enemies, from natural disturbances, and from all dangerous conditions in this material world. Now, I might say, how come the devotees aren't always protected? You know, sometimes they meet with accidents. Sometimes, you know, people are getting killed by COVID or whatever. Does that mean they're not being protected? Not necessarily. It may be, and it always is actually, that what happens to us is orchestrated by Krishna. It is arranged by the Lord. So, at the same time as we're being protected, you know, we also have to face the fact that the material world, and Krishna warns us, well, this dukkhalayama sasvatam, material creation is a place of misery and temporality. And sometimes, you know, we may meet our, eventually we're going to meet our demise, some point in time. Even though it's said, the devotee lives forever. That's in his spiritual form, not in the material form. Right? So here, the devotees are always protected. Sometimes, and Prabhupada says here, sometimes the devotees wonder, what will happen if there's a world war? What happens if there's a bomb dropping on our head? What was Prabhupada's response when the devotees were asking him this and that? He said, well, if there's a bomb dropping on our head, what do we do?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, exactly. Chant, this is the Hare Krishna fix all solution. Chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. In all kinds of danger, Prabhupada says, we should be confident of the protection by the Vishnu Dunas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. And that's there for the devotees who are constantly chanting and constantly hearing and who are constantly fixed on their service and performing their service without consideration for personal gain, but because they just like to serve. And this is a symptom. Symptom of a devotee is that they like to serve. Not, oh, no, no, do I have to do that? Huh? We should be happy to serve in any circumstance. Samatra is a symptom of a devotee. That they like to serve. Whether they are recognized, whether it's menial, whether it's elevated, there's a pleasure derived from doing that service, which is dependent on one's connection with Krishna. And that connection is determined by the purity of intent. Right? When there's a desire to, well, and that's exemplified by Lord Chaitanya's prayer. Nādanam nājanam nasundarim kavitam dā jagadishakamaye māma jamani jamanishvari bhavata bhakti ohiti kītvari. No wealth, no followers, no sundari, no beautiful women. I don't want those things. But what does he want? Ahoitiki, bhakti. Unmotivated bhakti twai, bhakti to you, devotion to you. Right? This is Lord Chaitanya's prayer. Let me have unmotivated, no money, no followers, no recognition. You know, there are sometimes devotees, they feel, oh, I've been a devotee for so long. You know, why aren't people recognizing me? I haven't made any progress. People aren't recognizing me. But that's not necessary. Okay, people may recognize you as a devotee, but that's not a measure of advancement. Right? And especially if that's what you want, it's not healthy. I've seen this with my friends, you know. Our big Sankirtan collectors in the days when the more paintings you sold, the more advanced you were. Right? But when the paintings era was over and they stopped getting the recognition, a number of those devotees became very depressed and disconsolate because they weren't getting the attention that they were getting before. And it hurt them. You know, it's nice when your name is read out, number one, you know. Put anybody on the spot. Right? So many book points and so much luxury connected, and then everybody goes, Jai, Jai, Prabhu, Jai. You think, whoa, it's me. Oh, I'm such a wonderful devotee. Right? We've got to watch out for that because that's actually a trap. Because what about the next day? You know, you're number 20 in a list of, you know, 30 devotees, and you're down the bottom. Does that mean that you're a worse devotee than you were the previous day? Of course not. And these are subtle things. These are subtle things that happen to the devotees. They can be obstacles in making progress in devotional service. Wanting to be recognized, wanting to be important. And you know what happens is, I'll tell you what happens, I've done it myself many times. You think that you're special and you get proud and then you commit offenses to others. And then have a guess what happens? Krishna trims you down to size. And you know what happens then? You get angry. You get upset. and then your true character is revealed, and it is embarrassing. You fight with others, and then you realise, what's wrong with me? What's happened? I thought I was a beautiful idiot. I'm now behaving like an idiot. So, we need to be very respectful and pay attention to our motivations and make sure that our service attitude is correct. That we're not looking for, basically material things like money and well, same thing. Was it money, followers, women? And of course, Prabhupada mentions, on the path of bhakti, these things have been obstacles since the beginning of creation. These are not new things. And of course, they're gross things. There's the more subtle things that we need to watch out for. Profit, distinction, adoration.
Fame.
What's it?
Fame.
Fame, yeah, distinction. Of course, every devotee is distinctive, because he's a devotee. But again, levels. There are levels of bhakti. And the highest is actually that person who is purely motivated to perform their service at all levels and all types of service. We should value the service of every devotee. Not that some services are material and others are spiritual. No. All of the services in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, all of them are spiritual. All of them. Our actions, there are no material action in the Krishna, unless it's motivated for personal benefit. Everything that we do, cleaning, distributing books, worshipping the deities, cooking, managing, all of these activities, they're all purely spiritual. It's not a material activity in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We need to, if we think, he's a manager. The other day, there was a bit of a dispute. You're just a manager. What is he managing? Krishna's temple. What is he managing? Krishna's kitchen. Krishna's devotees. How is that? That's not material. That's purely spiritual activity. But sometimes, there is this mode sometimes, you're a manager. But if look down on a pot washer, just doing the pots. Right? The pot washer. Or the toilet cleaner. To clean the toilet. Material activity, but it's not. Right? What did Amarish Maharaj do when he came to the temple? Majanati Shun. Adi means what? What does Adi mean? Adi.
Adi.
We have Adi Lila, Madhya Lila, and Amcha Lila. What does Adi mean? The first, the beginning. Majanati Shun. So he came to the temple, what did he do? Cleaned it. What is it? Sri Vigrahara Dana Nityanana Sringaratan Mandira Majanado. Okay. Who can guess what Majanado means? In that verse. We sing it every morning. Right? Sri Vigrahara Dana Nityanana Sringara, what does that mean? Sringara. Dressing the deities, right? Sringara, but Marjanano. What does that mean? First, he cleans the temple. So the guru, Guru Vashnakam, right? The guru is doing what? Worshipping Krishna, Sri Vigrahara Dana, Nitya, always, right? Always in a variety of ways, right? Nana. Sringara, time, so addressing the deities, but beginning with cleaning the temple. And engages his disciples in doing this, the verse. Right? We sing it every day, but we forget it when it comes to cleaning the temple. Oh no, I've got to wash the pots. Oh, I can't do that. Got to get somebody else. We've got to pay somebody to do the pots. But I don't do it. So we've got to be careful. Careful of some of these moods where there's a lack of motivation to serve Krishna. Or, because that's the flip side, you know, there's the desire to, it's motivation actually, Prabhupada mentions, Krishna mentions. The motivation where we don't do our duty, we avoid doing our duty. So let's be careful. We've got to watch out for these. Because then if we're not truly motivated, then we may not get the protection of Krishna. The full protection. We'll certainly get protected. But if we want that full protection and that feeling of complete protection and just the connection with Krishna when it's purely motivated is that we feel, Prabhupada says, you'll feel the ecstasy of serving. Right? So purely motivated devotees feel happy doing whatever is required to serve. Even if it's difficult. Even if it's difficult. Just like, you know, it wasn't easy for Arjuna to kill his relatives. Can you imagine? What an incredible challenge it was to have to face Bhishma Dev. And his grandfather, who he'd been worshipping all of his life, and then he had to face him and with the intent to kill him. Woo! Not easy. And what did Krishna say? Oh, yeah, it's okay, that's pretty hard, you don't have to do that. Huh? You have to do it. That's a real test. That's a real test. A test of sincerity is, you know, day in, day out, facing the challenges of life, I suppose. But if that mood is there, then kontaya pratijanehi name bhakta pranasyati. My devotee never perishes. Here, Prabhupada says, material danger is not meant for devotees. Padam padam yadvipadam natesham. There are dangers at every step, but they are not meant for devotees who have fully surrendered under the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's where we want to be at that fully surrendered stage so that we get the full protection. But even if we're not, look what happened to Ajamiya. Look, just see the protection that we get even if we're chanting Hare Krishna and we still got a little bit of desire in the heart. Huh? Or in Ajamiya's case, completely fallen, really, when you think about it. But here Prabhupada says, the pure devotees of Lord Vishnu may rest assured of the Lord's protection. And as long as they are in this material world, they should fully engage in devotional service by preaching the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna, namely the Hare Krishna movement of Krishna consciousness. So we're in the right place. We're in the right place. We're doing the right things. We want to become pious. Because a pious person alone can know Krishna. But what kind of piety? It means a pure, not that you do meritorious deeds or you give in charity or that you build dharmashalas or whatever. No, not that kind of dharma. And of course Krishna says sarva dharma paritya, give up all of this dharma. But there is a piety mentioned in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and that's the piety that comes from bhakti, pure devotion. And the way we arrive at that's very interesting. We do that through hearing and chanting, the very basics of bhakti, right? Hearing and chanting. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. And what? Chanting the Bhagavad Gita, chanting the Bhagavad Gita, chanting Brahma Samhita. You know, hearing and chanting. Because that builds, you know, it's like hearing and chanting is like, you know, spiritual bodybuilding. I mean, it's building your spiritual body and building spiritual strength. And it comes. I mentioned this the other day in the latest Bhakti Gita. There's this article where Prabhupada says we become fixed in consciousness by kirtana. So hearing, and of course with kirtana is hearing. Come in. Is your first day at school today?
Second.
Okay, it's a freaking world out there. But Krishna's protecting us, even when we go to school. Krishna protecting you when you go to school? Surabhi? Yeah. Although I think you could probably look after yourself. Okay, any comments or questions on any of these points? We should respect the Vaishnavas, but we should know at what. We should learn to appreciate the different levels of bhakti. Right? And we should aim ourselves to be pure devotees. And we do that by chanting Hare Krishna and by regularly reciting the Vedic literature. Quite many things. Taking prasadam, associating with the devotees, preaching, like Prabhupada says, he didn't get on to this point, but preaching, book distribution, Priya. Oh, hang on. Sibya had a hand up first. She's a senior to you. Was that about Vijendra?
Is the mic on?
It is on, but I difficulty because you're talking too softly. I can't hear you.
When Gajendra chanted, the Supreme Lord came himself.
When Gajendra chanted, yes.
Yep. The Lord came directly, but when Acharyana chanted, the Vishnu Dutas came. So why did the Lord come there and the Lord didn't come here?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Because I can't recall it being explained. But let's see. You see, Gajendra's situation was a very special one. And in the course of his fighting with the crocodile, because this is Maharaj in a Jumna, wasn't it? And Maharaj in the form of a crocodile. Right. So there was two devotees actually fighting, when you think about it. Or a demigod and a devotee. Devotees, right. And it was an opportunity for Gajendra, the fallen devotee, to remember the Lord. Right? He remembered the prayers of his previous life. And that spontaneous show of dependence, right? Spontaneous show of dependence was so powerful and so strong that the Lord came himself. Right? See how powerful his bhakti was, that he got the darshan of the Lord. And he must have done something pretty, you know, to take birth as an elephant, he must have done something a bit off. But you would think, what did Indrajitna Maharaj do to have to take birth as Gajendra the elephant? What did he do?
He didn't respect Agastya.
Affected the devotee, huh?
He didn't receive Agastya with respect for, actually he was meditating on the law and then he forgot to receive the devotee.
A slip up. Minor slip up, but still he had to take birth as an elephant. Which shows how careful we have to be in dealing with devotees. Because ordinarily, a devotee doesn't take birth as an animal. But we see with Bharat Maharaj, with Indrajitna Maharaj, a discrepancy, but still, as a result of their previous pious activities, they got elevated, they were liberated, right? Even though Bharat Maharaj was born as a deer, he could still remember his previous life, so not an ordinary animal, not deeply in the mode of ignorance. But in Indrajitna Maharaj, taking birth as Gajendra, most of the time I guess he was in ignorance, enjoying himself as the king of the elephants. But at the time of that struggle, by Krishna's amazement, he remembered his previous, and the Lord himself appeared. So obviously special, very, very special personality. Right? Whereas Ajamil, was saved by the devotees, but the interesting thing is he got the same result, or pretty much the close to the same. You know, he got elevated to Vaikuntha, just like Indrajitna was reinstated as a devotee. So, why? It's Lila. Lila Shakti. Krishna's in control, anything can happen, right? But interesting, you see, and why we have to be respectful to the devotees, because even if it's just a devotee that came, still you get perfect. What is it? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Labha Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. So you get the association of a devotee, you still get perfection, right? And it's rare. It is actually rare. This is why Indrajitna Maharaj is such a special personality. The original Indrajitna Maharaj and also the current Indrajitna Maharaj is a special personality, right? But the original, in that the Lord came, and it's not very often that the Lord comes. You see in the pastimes, that the Lord himself appears to save somebody. Not always like that. Often, but not. It's quite rare. So, why? Well, that's who... Yeah, interesting. Good, a very good question. We can meditate on this all day long. And never come up and not know why. Cynthia, what I want you to do is go and have a look in a pastime of indigenous and see if there's a mention, okay? And then you can report back. This is your homework. Bhagavata homework.
Maybe because there was a difference in
bhakti,
because
Indrajuna
Maharaj
roughly
attained
bhava bhakti.
And
that's why
he
took birth as an elephant.
Well, that's the lila part, where he was on, he took about silence, and then other things, he came to become a great Brahma great, so then he took offense. But when they called after Narayana, at least in his past, he had already
attained
Bhagavad Gita, whereas, I guess,
I don't know. Okay, yes, why not? It's a speculation, but it's a speculation based on Shastra, so it's okay. Yeah. Prabhupada says you can speculate. So long as you don't make things up, and you do it based on the evidence, right? Well, the statements of Shastra, then it's fine. And that's what we should be doing. That's what Bhagavatam's for, actually. It's for thinking. Right? It's for stimulating thoughts about bhakti, devotional service, and thinking. What is it? What is it? Why is... That's why it's a good question. Did you come up with that idea yourself, Sylvia, or did you get that from someone else? Very good. How old are you? 8. Right. Huh?
10.
Ooh, much bigger. Okay, very good. I was thinking such things at the age of 10. Huh? God knows what I was thinking of. At 10. I can tell you. But I won't. It was Yellow Submarine and Hello Goodbye and other pop trivia. Tijuana Taxi, Hare Krishna. Comment?
Yes, but based on how you began the class at the different levels of devotees,
yes.
Would that be a reason how the Lord reciprocates with his advancement?
Well, that's what we're saying, and you're developing that idea.
Because...
Yeah, interesting. But here's the thing, you see. Does that mean a devotee is not as good as getting Lord Vishnu's presence?
No, the second point is, Vishnu does are not different from the Lord. The previous quote would probably say that they are equally...
That's right. When a devotee comes, it's as good as Narayan. Right? You know, when a devotee comes, and you know, some of the devotees that preached to me when I was a young, they're not practicing anymore. One of them I know is, who left his body in very questionable circumstances, but when he preached to me, he increased my faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna. So just because a devotee had some difficulty later on doesn't mean that at that time when he was... And the thing is, what does a devotee do? What, you know, what does Prabhupada say is the qualification of a guru? First qualification of a guru, what is it?
Faith.
Huh?
Faith.
What is it?
Faith.
Oh yes, but what does he do?
Preach.
And what does he preach?
About Krishna.
About Krishna. And what? In what way? In what way?
In the
doesn't do practically showing it.
It repeats the same message. Repeats the same message as Krishna. Perhaps appropriate for time, place and circumstance, but it's still consistent with Krishna's message. Right? So if you're presenting Krishna's message faithfully, right, it will have an effect. Because, you know, and it's very interesting, in the Dasamala Tattva, the first principle is Amnaya Tattva. And the Amnaya Tattva means the faithful presentation of the Vedas through the disciplic succession. Right? It's a principle of our tattva, our Vaishnava tattva, right? This principle of disciplic succession, and the disciplic succession presenting the Vedas, or the Vedic, you know, what is it? Presenting faithfully our Siddhanta, effectively, right? So if a devotee is representing the Parampara, Prabhupada gives the example, it's like an electrical connection where you plug into the power point and you're immediately connected to the powerhouse. Even though the plug is hundreds of kilometers away from the powerhouse, you plug it in, turn it on, right? Look, at the moment the electricity is out and drop on the house because we're not connected properly. And we're going to have to pay the electrician quite a few $1,000s to fix it. No, but keep in mind that some of that wiring is over 100 years old. So that's why it needs to be. We need to fix it up so that we don't have to look at it again for another 100 years. But you want to be connected. Not properly connected, click the switch, no light. Right? And this is the beauty of the parampara. A devotee brings Krishna is more than light years away. He's in the spiritual world and we're stuck in the depths of ignorance in the material world. So Krishna is so far away we can't see him. But with the association of a devotee, following this principle of Amnaya Tattva, following the Guru Parampara, faithfully presenting the Vedic message, then boom, what happens? All of a sudden, Krishna comes very close to us. Right? What we couldn't understand or failed to understand without the association of devotees, when we got the association of devotees, then all of a sudden this notion of Krishna and, you know, him being so far away and unapproachable, all of a sudden, we feel, oh yeah, Krishna's real. And I can have a relationship with him, right? All through the association of a devotee. So good point. You know, getting the association of a devotee is as good as getting Krishna's association. Because they bring Krishna so, you know, close to us.
Vijay was mentioning that Ajamil didn't mean to call Narayan. He was just calling his son. Gajendra knew that.
Yes, good point.
He called
specifically the Lord, whereas Ajamil was a bit mixed up. But not, you know, but mixed up enough for the vision and duties to come. So what does that tell us? What does that tell us?
Never give up hope.
Don't give up hope. Keep chanting.
Devotee is more merciful than the Lord.
Devotee is more merciful than the Lord. Ooh, yes, that's interesting. Yeah. The Vishnu Dudas came because he was chanting the name of Narayan. And so that underlines the potency of chanting Hare Krishna. And you know, we just don't. We don't sometimes appreciate how fortunate we are when we chant. And how, you know, we're creating our piety. Well, Prabhupada's actually created our piety for us by getting us to chant. And, you know, sometimes you're chanting Hare Krishna, it feels like you're chewing cardboard. Right? You ever had that experience? Or it's late at night, you know, and you just and you think, oh, I can't do it, it's too hard. Huh? The mind, lazy mind. This is too hard, you should stop. But you keep going. It's funny, you know. Last night I was feeling terrible, 8 o'clock, you know. I had quite a few rounds of charm. And when I started off, I just felt like, oh, God. You know, I'm just getting nowhere. And then I realised, when I chant, I'm often thinking, you know, when am I going to enjoy this? When am I going to, you know, when am I going to get something out of it? And then I kind of realised, not the right attitude. Just do it because you should do it. Right? Got to practice what you preach, right? And then, as I got closer to finishing off my rounds, even though it was late, but as I got closer, I started getting energy. The chanting was, I was hearing the mantra. At least I was hearing the mantra. That is as much as I can admit. So, you know, sometimes, and Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, what's poison in the beginning, right? But becomes nectar in the end is about your goodness. So we've got to keep up that something. We just got to keep up that attitude, even though sometimes it's hard. It's like dark, black. You know, you can't. Agyana, right? You just, everything is ignorance when you chant, and everything just looks black. Have you experienced that while you're chanting? I have, anyway. You may not, because sometimes it's just chanting agreement, this feels so bad. There was a song by the Rolling Stones in the mid 60s, it was called Painted Black. And it's a song about his depression, the fellow's depression. I see a red door and I want to paint it black. This is the song goes just about his depression. And why could we like that sometimes? Just black. Huh? So what do you do? Give up? No. Keep chanting. And then, and this is also mentioned by Rupa Goswami, you know, it's like the tongue is afflicted with the jaundice of ignorance. And so what does it do? It doesn't want to chant. And you know, when you've got jaundice and you taste something sweet, it tastes bitter. So when we're in this materially afflicted stage, when we chant, it feels horrible. You just got to keep chanting it then, because that's the medicine. And it's actually sweet. When you take the medicine, then what happens? The chanting becomes more and more relishful. And you know, by the time you've got 16 rounds, it's like, Kah! Yahoo! Let's do it! That's what happens. Unless we're chanting offensively or whatever. That's what we've got to look internally. All right, thank you. Nice points. Thanks, Sydney. Well, where's she? Sydney gone to school?
Yeah.
We kept her here all that time so she could ask that question. And thanks, Priya. Thanks. Gandharva Sanat Bhagavatam Gita Sadhra Bhagavatam Gita 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 G